Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Iran Is Happening Show live here on Blog Talk Radio. Today is Thursday, and it is 2 p.m. Beretta, can you hear me? Are you on the line right now? Okay, so we lost her. Let me try this call again. Some technical difficulties. Very sorry to everybody. I have no idea what's going on with this weirdness today. You would think it's Mercury retrograde. So just a moment while we get Beretta back on the line, and hopefully we'll be up and running just in a few moments. Can you hear me? Hello?
I can.
Okay, perfect. I have no idea why it does that. So thank you so much to everybody who came out tonight or this afternoon. We will be taking some live calls in just a few moments. Beretta, I just want to say welcome to you and everybody who's on the line with us today. I hope you're having a great middle of the week. I know we were scheduled for last night, but we had some weirdness with our scheduling. So very happy to be back with you guys today. Now, today I wanted to open up our conversation with a somewhat difficult conversation. Spiritual narcissism. It's something that exists. It's sort of like that silent killer, you know, it's like a cancer and you don't really notice it when it's going on. These are the people who are playing some weird, sick ego games and try to preach to you that you have to do all of these different things to improve yourself. Meanwhile, these people are either spiritually bankrupt and they're not doing the work themselves, or again, they're playing those sick ego games and they just seem to like pushing people into corners. Like I had this experience very recently where I was doing some belief changes with somebody and I was sort of on the fence. I didn't really know what I thought about that, but the provider just kind of kept pushing it on me, even though I wasn't sure if it was something that I wanted. So then it eventually reached a point where I was violated in a spiritual sense to where I was saying no, but they kept pushing anyway. They kept telling me that I had to keep running into the direction of all of my fears, you know, so it's like this is a part of my brain that's very much dominated by like flames and the Grim Reaper. So these are not great images in my mind, and this provider is trying to push me into that direction. And then they go on to continue telling me about how in order for me to work on myself, I need to drop all of these other things that are important to me that I enjoy in my life. So it just got to feel like, you know, I was being abused by, you know, like one of those creepy psycho stalkers that you hear about on Dateline kind of thing. And it was not a positive experience. So eventually I ended up terminating contact with this person, and I just told them to leave me alone because, you know, to be raped in a spiritual sense, that's not, you know, something that anybody could ever hope for. So I wanted to open up today's show today with a conversation about spiritual narcissism and those people who are just, you know, they pose as, you know, self-help experts and gurus, and they want to try to point you in the right direction. But really what they're doing is just either lining their own pocketbooks or, you know, just like trying to gain experience. I have no idea why they do these things, but it's ultimately damaging. And I wanted to talk about how we as people out in the universe, how we can sort of identify these red flags and these signs. They're very similar to what you would expect from a lot of like domestic violence types of situations, really abusive relationships, except that it's in a more spiritual sense. And as opposed to dealing with the actual physical abuse, everything is, you know, very mental, but at a very subconscious level that we don't really pay attention to until it started to run its course. Beretta, what's your experience with these types of people and how to work with them?
Well, of course there's much experience. Of course there's many kind of people, and honestly, some of them don't even know what they're doing is inaccurate. They really feel like they're caught up in the same thing everybody else is peddling. Yes, those definitely are not spiritual people. They're imposters, and unfortunately, they don't know it. They believe that what they're saying, some of these people believe that what they're saying is absolutely legit. And if you do it this way every day for how many ever days, and or you do it straight just like this, like you're saying, you know, your life will be whatever. And that really hurts in the manner of people wanting to learn about spirituality in that way, because if they see somebody with momentum telling other people things to do that really are not what they need to do to obtain whatever it is their quest is for, They stop trying. They get disillusioned. They don't see that there's any way they can do anything this person's telling them because it's not feasible for them. And that is absolutely right. The imposters, spiritual imposters, you know, it's a double-edged sword. Some of them lead people to real spiritualism. Some people are able to see above that, to see that there is more, that that is not what you need. Others, they question, they wonder, you know, for the rest of their life. I counsel people that have, you know, had to escape from those kind of things multiple times because they were in pursuit of something more and they were led to people that were not legit and were taken advantage of. And they are some powerhouse people that are obvious targets to anybody that wants a good support system. They want people to make them look good. So, yeah. And I really wasn't aware, honestly, that these people could be so, they look so authentic. You know, they come across so genuine and real. And that's the part that is scary, where those narcissists are concerned, narcissists being people that pretend to be spiritual and take advantage of those that are and continue to wreck whatever anybody has tried to create for others in the real world in a manner of really helping people evolve or ascend or whatever their, like I said, whatever their approach is, intent is. And, you know, it's difficult to, I don't know, it got difficult for me to overlook that. And that's why I don't go to psychic events. I don't go to psychic fairs. I don't go to bookstores with psychics in it, because that's where those types of people will follow. They will follow those environments, those events, and prey on the folks looking for something real.
Well, it's not only just, you know, preying on people. It's the fact that, you know, like, no means no. And when I'm telling you, I'm putting up a wall, and like you're trying to do some belief changes or instill some sort of positive change in my life that I am naturally resistant towards because, you know, you're basically asking me to quit smoking cold turkey today. And this is a habit that has been around for longer than I've known you. So, like, if you're going to force me and push me into the traffic, there needs to be a little bit of empathy in that whole process. There is a reasonable expectation that I cannot give you 100% of what you're requesting, but I'm willing to work with it just because I'm a good guy, right? So I'm willing to give you this little, you know, 25-30% because this is all I'm capable of. Anything else would be too much, and you're going to have to go screw yourself and go away and get the hell out of my breathing space because this is what I can do, and that's the way that goes. But then, you know, when people want to just keep pushing and then they totally withdraw the empathy from the situation, then it's just sort of like, okay, so now you're just being a clinician with cold hands and blue gloves and a white jacket. There is no personality or feeling here. So why am I going to do this really scary thing with you when you truly don't care about me? That's when I have to pull the plug, because Greta, as you and I both know, that at a certain point, we as the provider kind of have to walk away when we're realizing that the person just doesn't want to do the work themselves. Like, we understand that. We'll take anything we get. You may not be able to do 100% of this positive change, you know, plan that we've sort of laid out for you. Maybe you can only do 15%. Maybe that's all you're capable of, and that's okay, because that's 15% more than what you were doing yesterday, and that's definitely a heck of a lot more than zero. So I'm willing to go with that. And, you know, when people are just so black and white, all or nothing about these types of things, and believe me, I am an extremely black and white person. And, you know, you want to sell me short and then throw me to the wolves because I'm not wanting to do what your ego is wanting. Well, that's too bad, because that's you. This is me. You don't live inside of here in the psyche and what's going on. So, yeah, I'm going to cut the cord and I'm going to tell you that there is nothing more to do. And then when you try to come back to me and say, well, Ernesto, maybe the reason you don't want to do this is because you're too afraid and because you push people away. Okay, so that's gaslighting is what that is. And also that, you know, I'm really done at this point, that you have really showed yourself for the trash that you are. Now please take yourself out.
Yeah, exactly. And they will put it back on you. Absolutely put it back on you when you start to question their theory. Because, you know, they feel like everybody else is doing it. You know, they're not doing anything more than anybody else is doing. Making a dollar, passing, you know, the time, trying to tell everybody they're the guru of whatever. And you know, overlooking the whole idea that people have a right to, like you said, when they're being instructed to do something, have compassion and support, you know, and tools to do what you need to do. Not, you know, if you take the green hammer and slam it into the red orange and pull the purple weeds, then you will have a yellow daisy. Okay, where do I get the green hammer? Where do I find the other stuff I'm supposed to slam? What you give me? Okay, I don't know what to do with all this information. So you shut down. Why would you even want to continue to go in a direction you don't even think you know what they're talking about, let alone can do? So, and one of my first experiences, real quick, and so one of my first experiences of realizing how good people can be at playing you, VQ, I'm sitting in VQ, I'm dealing with one of the local people that have come in and started to establish himself on a regular basis doing events and trying to make a little money out of there and blah, blah, blah. And we'd gone on for quite a while, and we were comfortable with it, knowing who each other was, I thought. And I somehow ended up, anyway, he owes me money somehow, and he's going to write me a check. And he comes over to my table, and he says to me, okay, what's your real name? Beretta. Oh, that's not a stage name? No, that's not a stage name. And then I looked at him and I said, what's your real name? And he tells me some, you know, common blowjo name, which was not what he represented himself as. And I'm like, dude, I don't know what you expected, but what you see is what you get. I'm legit. I'm not full of prompts that don't mean anything. I can't tell you things I don't know and I won't, but I'm most authentic in what I approach to do. And that showed me right there he wasn't. And that really opened my eyes to people when they really feel like what they're trying to do is somehow beneficial, but when it really comes down to it, they're only in it for the money. I freaked them out because I don't want anything to do with that. I had a hard time charging for my services to begin with. So having somebody rip me off for something that I really don't want them to do, and like you said, after you say no, can't do it. Just can't do it.
And then what's funny is that, you know, these people are always the types that they have an extremely plain and common name like Kevin or Frank or Fred. And then they pass themselves as like an Orion or Apollo or Persephone or something really fancy,
exactly.
You know, just to seem different. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know what? You're just a gypsy with shinier cards. That's all you are, you know. And
that's exactly right.
And we as spiritual beings, you know, we need to work to change that narrative and raise ourselves from that because, you know, that's where – psychics are put into the category of pseudoscience, that, you know, that this is garbage, whereas this is, you know, legitimate, like holistic counseling, but people don't want to see that because of what the mainstream has done to damage our profession.
Right. And I found a long time ago too, when I first started into the reality that, you know, I want to take my PhD and I want to use it. I want to take my intuition. I want to heal with it. And so if I combine them both, then I have a little bit of knowledge about what the hell I'm doing. I'm not just telling people to blow smoke up their butt and it'll all be fine. I knew at that time there needed to be more with what people with how people would use their intuition, and be less woo-woo and more matter of fact. And that's where I started a long time ago, is breaking away from the woo-woo, establishing who I was based on what I could provide. And I found that counselors and therapists, psychiatrists were reaching out to me to ask if I would do tandem counseling with them because they were stuck with clients they couldn't get anywhere with. And so I was blown away, actually, because it was still really early on in my career, but I was more than eager to experience that. And the more work I did with the counselors, I realized, you know what, they're already using their intuition. And I could tell, and they had come to me for counseling or readings or sessions, whatever. And I could tell by the way they were talking with the client at the time, they were already using their intuition. They didn't know it. So what I started to do then was break away from trying to say, okay, let me come in and help you, and started saying, okay, these tools you already applied, this is how you take it to the next level. And possibly they could. My forte was I could get in there and dig into somebody's background when they had forgot, when they had lapse of memory, or that gap of time was just gone. And our psyche does that to protect us. Our mental health needs a buffer. And so that information doesn't store itself as readily as other experiences would. And so it's gone. And so I would get in there and I would dig into that consciousness that they couldn't find or didn't want to know anymore because it hurt too much. And I could immediately, you know, bring up a time or a date or specific thing that I'm seeing with a specific person. Every time, not one time, Ernesto, did I walk out of the office with a tandem session thinking I didn't do anything at all. Not even one time when one lady said she was blocked 100%. The counselor couldn't go on anymore. She was thinking of terminating her sessions, and she said, just give it a try. And I was a little resistant because, like I said, I was still new into it, and she was a little hostile. And I didn't want to deal with this lady that was hostile. I mean, first of all, she had to agree to me coming in knowing who I was, and she was a little leery. So I went in very tentatively, and I just sat and listened. And so after a time, I started getting images, and I started seeing information. And so without asking questions to prompt information being fed to me, I said, did such and such happen when you were about so-and-so? And it involved your such and such. And she said, oh, my God, yeah, but that's not it. I'm over it. Okay. Well, that was it. Why in all of her history and everything that I could dig through would I bring that up? Well, the counselor agreed with me. And later on, she took that information. She finally could open that lady up. But because I was able to dig right into it, bring it right to the surface, and it wasn't a secret anymore, it wasn't a mystery, that was too heavy for her to accept at that time. So she walked down. Well, fine, that's fine. She didn't have to agree with me. The fact is it was right, and the counselor then could take that information and run with it more. Instead of work with me simultaneously, she did it after the fact, and the lady had a lot more benefit. I don't know what ever come from. I don't really ever know what come from any of the people that I worked with. But I didn't do it for me, and I didn't do it for wanting to know after the fact. I was doing it for the experience. And at the time, I realized it was 100%, and it was something that I could count on.
You know, we always have run into the same experience as I do, that people always want to hit you up and they say, you know, like, teach me how to channel or give me a reading, you know, like, help me out with X. And usually, like, the people who want to, like, do the self-improvement programs, they're people that, like, have some weird dominance issues that they have to work out. And, you know, they're, like, psychics or card readers or something along those lines. There is a almost 100% chance that these people do not have money to pay me for my hourly rate as I require. So then they try to, you know, like, reel you in and say, well, I can do some type of exchange or, you know, barter, and, you know, like, you want me, you need this. But then those situations almost always end badly, because I'm of the belief that even if you pay a dollar, the fact that there is a monetary value attached to whatever you put, whatever you want to do, you're going to take it more seriously. Whenever you do exchange work, it's just a psychological thing that we don't take that work as seriously when something is given to us for free. So I have instilled a policy now for these types of scenarios. Like, I understand that there are people in the world who don't have the funds to be able to work with us. So I've instilled a policy now that we can absolutely do pro bono work with you. That's not a problem. But you're going to sign off on this this financial agreement that where you submit a scanned copy of your photo ID. There's going to be a game plan that's written out, and, you know, a proposed price for services rendered. Your agreement is that you meet us 110%, which is more than halfway there, and do the work yourself. And if you do not complete XYZ requirements by the date stated on the document, then you are on the hook financially for all services rendered. I can come after your ass and sue you. So I've decided, you know, unfortunately, just because people are horrible, that I have to instill a policy that protects ourselves and our time and what we do here.
Yeah. It's been my belief for a long time in the equal energy exchange system. And I got to the point, like you realize, people can't afford us. But I also realized that people needed us, and the most of them didn't have the money. When I became comfortable enough financially that I wasn't fed, I wasn't rich, I wasn't rolling in money, but I wasn't hungry and I wasn't behind, and I was starting to accumulate a little bit of savings,
I started working with people in a barter system, even if I didn't think I was going to get the value of what I gave. It gives them the sense of knowing that they could be giving something in return, and it wasn't, they weren't just getting a freebie. So the other thing I did too, when I first started back in the day, I also always put it out there, look, you don't need to pay me. If my reading for you is crap and you feel like you got nothing, walk away. And I kept that philosophy. Now, I couldn't do that at BQ because that was the wrong answer. It wasn't my business. I had to support myself and the store. But once I became self-proficient, I pretty much demanded that people understand if they weren't getting their value, I did not want money. So now let me fast forward 20-plus years. I've never not been paid. And I feel like that for me is the testimony that I needed to go into it at that level. Now, do I go into it now? No. I will go into it with a sliding scale. If you can't pay me, tell me what you need. I'll tell you what it's worth. That's what I will charge. I'm not going to give you a full session for a little bit of money just so you think you've got a better deal, but I'll give you what you need for what it's worth. Again, I'm not opposed to barter. If that's something that people can actually provide to the degree that I need it, I will. And knowing full well that it may not be what I would think I should be paid, I'm okay with that because I do believe the service that I provide is more invaluable to those that really can't afford it than it is to those that can psychic cop because they got the money and they're bored. And that drives me just a little bit nutty in itself.
And then there's always that class of people that psychic hop because they're waiting to hear the thing that they want to hear.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Have you gotten that person? That person that will come to you and say, well, so-and-so told me such and such. Okay, well, I don't really care what they told you. That's not what I'm seeing at the time. And it may conflict with what you want. It may conflict with what they said. I'm really not in a position to care, frankly. You want my opinion, you're paying me for my time, I'm giving you what I see, and that's all there is to that. Don't argue with me about it. Go back to the person that gave you what you wanted to hear. Obviously, that was more right than I am. So those people, yeah. But so thankfully, Spirit has worked for me to really call out that type of design where people come to me and then are going to fight with me about my behavior or the energy behind the reading or the information itself. I still deal with people that are in a crappy mood when I tell them what I see because they hate being identified. People just don't understand. People don't understand that psychics like myself, like the people that can identify a personality just by feeling them, can also tell you where life is going to go and who you are and what you try to hide. And they really get uncomfortable when you start pulling on those layers back, exposing them. I still get those people. But I also know that for whatever reason, God brought them to me. If they hadn't been needing to hear whatever I was going to say, they wouldn't be sitting at my side. So I just keep moving on no matter how worried, worked up, or pissed they get. And like I said, I've never not been paid. So there's that. That, like I said, is my biggest testimonial.
Well, and I have known you for so long, and, you know, I think you know that I am a snob when it comes to service providers in general, regardless of what profession it is, that I am extremely choosy in today's marketplace. And, you know, everybody kind of has to pass an entire laundry list of requirements to vet somebody to make sure that they're good at what they do. It's one of the reasons why we actually give free readings on the show is because why should we force you to open up your wallet to somebody when you don't even know if they're good at what they do? Apparently, right. You know, if we're going to have the red pill conversation here, this is how a lot of astrology organizations work, is let's uphold this person, you know, and their work, who has only ever read charts of dead, you know, deceased celebrities, you know, things that cannot be disputed, that is literally the sound of one hand clapping, you know, like, and then they say, now pay me $500 for an hour so I can tell you about your chart, about your life since you were born, which is stealing, by the way, because anytime you know, approach somebody and say, and they try to convince you, well, you have to pay for a full consult, you know, and that means we're going to start from birth and then work our way until now. It's like, bitch, do you understand how many years it took me to get this far? And it takes an entire life to live my chart. So that's just crazy. That's just being stolen from, you know, that's being robbed.
Right.
That's bad astrology. Yep. And we don't do that here. So we do want to take some live calls and get to everybody on the lines. Remember that if you are watching from Facebook or YouTube, please give us a call here directly on the show, as we're not paying attention to those chat outlets. The number to call is 563-999-3070. And also remember that if you're watching our live stream over at eastrologer.tv, to mute your device audio so that way we can avoid that feedback loop. So we are going to get off here to our first caller from area code 914. Hi, you're on the Uranus Happen Show. May I have your name and date of birth?
Hi, my name is Christine. Thank you for taking my call. My date of birth is January 6th. Do you need the year?
Yes.
1986.
Okay, and what time were you born?
9:30 p.m.
Okay, and where were you born?
Bronx, New York.
Perfect. All right. And Christine, would you like a general reading today, or do you have a question about an issue?
I'm struggling with finances.
Okay. All right.
So
perfect.
I guess
so we'll just do like a finance reading?
Yeah, please.
Got it.
Okay.
All right. Vreda, what you got?
Okay, well, Christine, honey, you're struggling with a whole lot more than finances, but we'll start with finances and we'll stop with finances because you got a lot going on. What I want to say is, short answer, it'll get better.
Yes.
It seems like there's going to probably take, what do I want to say? I feel like time, and I see, I don't know, crinkles. I see static. I see, like, writing on paper and then widening it up and throwing it away and starting over. So I guess, okay, so I would say those are attempts, multiple attempts at something. But over time, even though you stay worried, you're going to realize you're going to get more comfortable knowing that you live on a small margin, you know, that's a small line that you live for security and bankrupt. So,
yeah,
just know that for a little while you're walking that line, all right? For a little while you're going to feel like you're straddling that line and you're not knowing which side you're falling on. But then after a while, it gets better. It starts, you get a break. And once you get that break, that's where you start, it's like, the sun starts to shine. It starts to get easier. Life is starting to look like maybe spring is here. Woo-hoo! Kind of thing. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So hang in there, honey. Now, that's the nutshell around finances. But at the same time, you're not just dealing with finances. You're dealing with multiple other things. And those other things, I think, is what keeps you straddling that line. Because if it weren't for those things, you could make a decisive decision, do what you need to do, and move forward. So due to the other things and people, you're having a hard time, and it's just going to stay that way for a little while longer. It's not their fault. It's not their fault. It's just at this time you're needing to juggle and ice skate. And it's difficult to do all that at the same time.
Yeah.
So
do you see how far?
That's where I'm going to say, Ernesto, tell us when she's going to be able to see that one break that's going to bring the light of day back.
Okay, sure. So I'm taking a look at a few things. I'm running a few formulas here on your chart, Christine. So taking a look specifically at Jupiter, which is going to be like our money planet. That's the big thing that we want to take a look at here. So let me take a look. So where did it go? This one. All right, good. And where is – there. Okay, so like about here, we'll say – yeah, so, I mean, a lot of the problem, I think, would you say that your expenditures, like your finances, that a lot of that is related to expenses that come up with your family, your home environment, the people you live with?
No, I would say, well, if that includes rent, I mean, mostly it's rent and electric, food.
Okay, so it's just sort of like a paycheck-to-paycheck lifestyle, and you're not sure what, you know, when does this get better? Yeah, because it's really seeming, you know, like that this is just sort of like a cancer, that it just sort of is eating away at you. And I'm really sorry to say this, you know, that, like, this is just difficult. It's so tight that, you know, you're like, I really need a bone here because I don't know if I can do this until I die. Like, it almost seems like prison, you know, like it's just stuck beyond belief. And it's, you know, I want to say that the biggest thing that would help you the most would be moving, you know, to a different residence. And I think that that's going to come up somewhat spontaneously out of the blue. It'll probably even be like not even really in the area where you're at right now. It's going to be someplace where the rent climate is much entirely different than where you are presently. So, and I think that's just going to show up out of the blue. Like it's a fleeting thought and you say, hey, let me take a look at apartments in X area. And then you find out, oh my God, this is really affordable. I can do this. And then you look into other jobs and you find out that companies are hiring. I think it's just going to kind of be one of those things that you discover on a whim, but the solution to your financial situation right now is going to be moving. And what makes it really difficult, especially, is the fact that we've got this Jupiter up here in the transit that's in retrograde, and I'll highlight that with a black square. But because that's aligning with your other two Jupiters here, that's basically making its own midpoint at this spot in your chart. So this is, you know, going to highlight all of the difficulties regarding finances at this time. So that's where when Veretta's saying that that this is just a temporary situation, this tightness, that is absolutely true. As to when it gets better, you probably won't really notice like that the weight is lifted off until I want to say about the spring of next year. So you're still going to be doing some cutting of corners. And, you know, probably I would expect some conversations about moving and, you know, seeing what that's going to look like. Perhaps, you know, there's a bedroom someplace that you can rent someplace that's going to be less expensive and less straining than where you are. I'm not sure how that would work, but I really feel like that moving is going to be the solution to the problem. But it won't be until about the spring that you're going to start to feel that I can do this now, because, you know, right now you're still being crushed by a boulder. Let's be clear that, you know, you're still being flattened like a pancake by a boulder. And as that Jupiter moves into retrograde, I believe in December, then that's going to be, that's going to, you know, really just sort of grind you down into the ground. But once it moves forward again, then you're going to notice that, oh, this weight is finally gone. I don't know what happened, but you're just going to wake up one day and you're just going to feel like this is so much lighter than what it's been in the past. So hang tight, stick in there, and it will improve.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Hang in there, honey.
Thank you both.
Mm-hmm. All right, for sure. All right, thanks so much. We'll catch up with you soon. Be sure to subscribe, like, and share. Take care until next time.
Thank you.
Yeah, take care. Goodbye. Okay, so let me take a look. Great. So thank you for letting me know, Veretta, that I was forgetting to share my screen capture. I got that all fixed, so you guys should see that change momentarily. Yeah.
Okay,
I have another controller here on my desk, and I have to press buttons to change in between what you guys see on the screen. And sometimes I don't always remember because I just get carried away. But you guys can see everything now, which is great. So if you want to take note of Christine's chart and what we were just discussing there, but we're going to get to our next caller here, who's going to be from area code 951. Hi, you're on the Uranus Happens Show. May I have your name and date of birth?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you? What's your name?
Nathaniel.
Nathaniel. Okay, I remember. You've given us a call before. Perfect. And Nathaniel, would you like a general reading today, or do you have a question about an issue today?
The general is good for me.
Okay, I don't have your chart in this file, so remind me of your birth date again.
May 1st, 57, 7:36 a.m. in Orange, California.
At 7:56 a.m.?
36.
Okay. In Orange. Got it. And Nathaniel would just like a general reading today. Veretta, if you could get that going.
Yes, I can.
Perfect.
All right. Nathaniel, you feel like the canary that just got ate by the cat. Oh, my God, what happened? No, I'm just kidding. You're the cat, actually. So you're very curious right now, and so I'm going to tell you that sometimes curiosity gets us in trouble. This might be one of those times. Wow, dude, you are so strong. Okay. First of all, let me just state that I can't give you any information, theoretically, that you can't get yourself. So I'm going to bring some folks in from Spirit, because as I kind of opened up the window to say, hey, how am I going to do this? I got the intent that maybe I could just bring some folks through. Now, I don't know what kind of question that will create, but we'll see what we can draw on. I got to tell you, I got an older female energy and a male energy. And a male energy is contemporary to you. Older female would almost be suggested of your grandma's age. And I want to say that, oh, and they're both on the, I think this brother, this the male is your brother, a contemporary. They're both on that side that I would think, I'm not sure which side grandma's on. They're both presenting on the female side, but that doesn't feel right to me, so I'm just going to leave it at that. I want to say that they're laughing at and with you, and they're also like, you know, when someone does a finger thing that they say shame, 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 and they're like, one index finger is brushing on the index finger that's pointed at you. Grandma's doing that right now. And it's not in a bad thing. It's in a ha-ha thing. It's like a shame on you. You're being naughty, or you're being... What's the word for something when you're not being terribly malicious, you're not doing really bad anything, but you're like playing jokes on, and you're just being that kind of guy right now, just kind of playing jokes on. And I feel like she's laughing with you. Now, she does want to say, thank you, Grandma. She does want to say that you've got something coming up, buddy, that you need to stop denying and or hiding from or ignoring. Don't postpone whatever it is you're supposed to be doing. I feel like this has to do with your health and or, you know, whatever you need to live on. So abide by Grandma, because she's saying you really kind of need to take care of it. Get it done now. Don't wait. You know, you don't need to be thinking that if you do it later, it'll last longer. I don't know, whatever the philosophy is that's making you not think you need something done, but you do, so get it done. Or you should have it if you want it, so get it done. Now, dude's coming in, finally stepping in. He's real strong. He's very silent. He's not giving me any kind of physical feeling to share with you, other than he is totally on your page. He would be liking you, the day is long, and he feels like he wants to say you're okay. He wants to give you a sense of being okay. You're okay. You're okay. Dude, whatever you got going on, whatever you're thinking about, whether it's past, present, or future, you're okay. Now, you apparently try to talk to him or do talk with him. You don't always hear his answer or response. So you are going to be meeting somebody. Oh, right on. Okay, Ernesto, here's how you're forming the question. Saying you're going to be meeting somebody that's going to enlighten the crap out of you. Now, you already think you're pretty enlightened. As the day is long, you pretty much think you got it covered. However, this person's going to give you a different mindset to frame your thought on, and that is going to give you the opportunity to see things differently. I don't know who you're supposed to see things different about. I don't know what or how or when it's going to change you, but after that happens, I can see things as, I would say, drastic in your mindset right now, but when you look at it then, it won't be drastic as moving. So before you, I'm not going to move, that's dumb, that's, don't, please don't do that. Please don't do that. I get you. I hear you. Where you stand right now, there's no reason why you'd even want to. But what I'm seeing is in the future, and that will create a different mindset. So just hold on. Things are coming. Not that you're looking for or upset or worried or hassled, but you're being told, you're getting a heads up from Spirit, from Grandma and Dude. Seems
the
like I can hear his name.
More nice, but the other person seemed to be kind of like mad at me or something. I don't know.
No, not mad at all. He's not mad. It's just like he's
no,
a real
dad. I think dad. the dad one was a lot more positive when they said they wanted me. You know, that was the one I liked. But the other one seemed a little like, you know, they were, I don't know, they were shaming me or something.
It wasn't a shame. It's almost like that guy died with a chip on his shoulder, or he'd had a really heavy life, and he's still processing. He wasn't mad. There was no malice. There's no intention at ill will at all. It's just he was that type of energy more so than the first person. The first person was light and bubbly and all about you're okay. The biggest fan that they could have kind of thing.
Okay. All right.
So it wasn't a bad at all. But Ernesto, if you could have found a question out of that, run with this, and hopefully we'll give you some more info, Nathaniel.
Sure. So Nathaniel, just quick question: did you endure a loss recently? Did somebody go into spirit, a male energy in particular?
Paul, about a year ago.
Okay, because I get the sense that, like, believe it or not, like, this person, you have some karma with them that's being transformed from the ethers. You know, there's, like, some stuff here that's suggesting to me, like, however that story played out in real life, that wasn't the way that was supposed to end. And so, like, they're working behind the scenes to do some other stuff. You'll see that I'm adding some black circles here on the screen, and this is really going to speak to a lot of the energies. And, you know, you've got, like, you know, a triple Hades formation that's showing up on this axis point, which has to do with falling in love. So we're asking about a question of your chart about the people that I love in my life. And that's not necessarily just romantic. It can also be like a best friend or, you know,
hit,
a brother, people who are truly near and dear to your heart. Veretta, go ahead.
Hit your video, Ernesto. You
oh, I'm
have
so
your
sorry.
Little...
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it is showing now, but what I'm showing here is that you're gonna have like a transformation of some karma that's going on here, and so what that's gonna do is that's gonna create a change in terms of like your own thought process and how this is going. As far as, you know, like the thing that you need to take care of that you're sort of neglecting, I really get the sense that you've got some health issues specifically around your heart and your bones, that these would be good things to get checked out for you. And to look into that. Like, I think that if you let that slide, that's going to become a problem in the future. And so I would say that, you know, that this is a great time to get a checkup, especially like, you know, get your nuclear stress tested, you know, those kinds of things. That would be something you would very much benefit from right now, is taking care of those health issues. So if you've got anything at all that's related to like the heart, teeth, bones, or, you know, things like of that nature that's problematic, then you're going to want to get those looked at, because they're going to blow up in the future if you let them slide.
Yeah, I agree.
So just to you from planets and trans-Neptunians, the medical manifestations of what we're dealing with is like bones, teeth, high pressure pains, hardening. We're also dealing with, you know, the heart. And so like any, like your cardiovascular system, get that stuff checked out. And you know, this would be the element lead and also the element gold. So those two things, those are all going to be
all right
for you. But
that's done a few months ago and everything was good.
Okay, so that was recent then. Okay, perfect. So if you're taking care of that, then that's what we want to see, because I feel like that you would have a positive result from this by taking care of it now. And I think that the thing with this person who moved on into spirit, that there's still some, you know, transformation that's going on over there that you're having to work out. And I think once that's done in the time frame that happens in the beyond, then this is going to give you a huge piece of information. It's going to unlock parts of your mind that you didn't know were there. And it's going to just incite a type of curiosity in you that makes you realize, oh, this is the direction I'm heading in. I never saw this coming, but that makes sense. It feels right to me, so I'll go with it. And I feel like that's really sort of what's happening here. Veretta, what do you pick up on Paul? Because that's what I pick up here in this chart.
Paul is who I was dealing. So that's your contemporary. I think that that's exactly why he felt maybe a little bit angry. It's not anger. It's just the continuation of.
The second one.
Yeah.
Okay.
The second one. I think that that's why you're picking, it's not anger. It's just a continuation of, you know, going, leaving on a quicker.
I meant the first one, not the second one when I said that.
Oh, no. The first one, she was laughing with you. That was grandma doing a ha, ha, ha.
Okay.
That was
it's
just
funny.
Grandma
they're,
doing a ha, ha, ha. That wasn't her.
I think they're born only a day or they're both born
because
Paul's born on February 24th, the day of sacrifice. Mayweather's born that day, and then my grandma's born on February 25th, the same day as Rick Pryor.
No wonder they came in so close. I mean, they came in together. It wasn't like they were together, but it was, you know what I mean? They were, you know what I mean? So, yeah, that makes absolute sense. But I would definitely follow up on the health thing. So if you've already had stuff done.
I had a surgery done about 3 months ago. It's been a rough road, actually.
Okay. Have you been contemplating going back and taking another look at what they did, or maybe asking them to look again if everything is healing correctly?
I did that, but I think we're going to have to do something. I think either I may have to get an MRI from my cancer thing, because I had cancer, and then I had lung cancer in March. I had an operation, and then, got me in the chest.
Okay, well, whatever it is you've been thinking you need to do, get it done.
I have a lot of bone problems and stuff, but I just joined a gym, and it's really close, and it's really like luxurious. You know, they have like a massage bed that goes up and down with water and a tanning booth and stuff, where the whole gym is good equipment that I do yoga in, you know, because I did yoga for about 40 years, giving away my age, but...
So did your birthday.
My birthday's May 1st, or the day of ironic insight. So I know all the days of the year. So like Einstein was born the day of relativity, and Jimi Hendrix was born the day of electrified excitement.
Oh, right
on. And, you know, Donald Trump's born the day of the gusty confrontation.
That's nice.
So Biden's born the day of the scrambler, and Lincoln's born the day of the unifier.
Oh, right on. What was June 20th?
June 20th is the day, I think, of, I think that's the day of ups and downs or something like that. I'll look at it right now. I know most of the days, but I know that is the week of magic. They break them up to 48 different weeks, and then I got every day here, so that June 20th is the day of, ecstatic appeal.
Really?
Yeah. ECSTATIC, appeal.
It
says that you're emotional and charismatic. And stuff like that. So you're
that's wonderful. That is awesome.
Nathaniel, that's quick question. How's your liver doing these days?
I think it's doing pretty good, I guess.
Have you had that checked out? That would also fall, you know, like when we talk about surgery, when you brought that up, I thought, okay, so what do lungs look like in astrology? So that's Jupiter. And when you look at, you know, our guide here for how that manifests, it's the lungs and it's also the liver. So you would want to check out both of those, especially since Jupiter kind of comes up twice in this part of your chart as far as like the past and the future planets are concerned. So it would be wise to have that sort of looked at, you know, as a part of, you know, like your whole like panel of everything for the health stuff. The liver is something that you would specifically want to check out in that situation.
All right. Well, appreciate that. Appreciate both of you so much.
Yeah. Well, it was great to have you on the show, Nathaniel. Be sure to give us a call back and let us know how it turns out. It's always a pleasure to speak with you.
All right. Hey, super. Thanks again.
Yeah, thanks a lot. We'll catch up with you soon. Take care, and until next time.
Bye.
Okay, and let's see here. We are going to take our last caller here for the afternoon. We will be back with you guys on Saturday. That will be at 11 o'clock, Beretta. Was that when we're doing it?
Yes.
Okay, so we will be back with you guys Saturday at 11 a.m. for a two-hour show. That'll be our normal weekend program. And remember, for all other things relating to astrology, be sure to check out eastrologer.tv and berettavision.com for Beretta's page. We're going to catch up with Jessica here over at area code 267. Hi, Jessica. You're on the Uranus Happens show. Do you have a question today, or would you just like a general reading?
I wanted to see what you were picking up with housing, but Ernesto, when you pull the chart, I just wanted to know for like the last couple weeks of October and like the beginning weeks of November. I moved twice since I last spoke to you guys, by the way. It's been very exciting.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you were looking at the last few weeks of this month and early November, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Sure. Okay. All right. And where are you at today, Jessica? Just curious.
I am in Pennsylvania. And Veretta, you were right. I did go west. It's just a little bit. I mean, I'm not far away from where I was. I did go west a little bit, and I went a little bit south. It just happened.
Yeah. Well, it works like that. All good.
Yeah.
Okay.
What
so whereabouts in Pennsylvania are you?
Well, so I
are you in like the Philly area?
Yet. Yeah. I'm more north. You could put in I don't even know what to put in. I've been moving so much. I guess you could put in Warminster, Warminster. But I haven't been in Pennsylvania for a year yet, and I know with the other astrology, they say you have to be for a year before your soul body or something. I don't know, your chart changes.
Yeah, that's just a lot of woo-woo that we don't buy into.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Honey. So, okay.
What you were getting to, Veretta?
Yeah, go ahead, Veretta.
Okay. So with this area, there, you're going to feel like you're blending, okay? You're blending, and you're moving into a direction of thinking, all right, maybe I'm going to stay here, so I should look for a better place or a permanent place or something more stable.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to stay there, hon. But
it does feel like that, yeah.
Yeah. And so I would say to you, life is short, sweetheart. Be comfortable wherever you're at, no matter how long you're there.
Yes.
So nest the hell out of whatever you're living in so that if you were to, say, need to endure it a few months, a year, 3 or longer, if you choose that or so, then you're comfortable. You know, you're living with what you got, what you want right at your fingertips. It's not like, oh, God, you know, my shit's in storage. I want to pack. I want to do this. I want to do that. No, honey, drag it all out. Live with it. Be comfortable. Don't put anything away and think, I'll just not unpack it because I don't want to repack it.
Yeah, I'm expecting to – where I'm living right now is completely temporary. I'm living in a warehouse right now. So I'm expecting to be moving again. And today I was feeling the urge. I was like, go get your blender out of storage, go get your rebounder. And I was like, okay, where are we going? I'm feeling like I'm moving in the next day or two. I was like, where are we going now? What's next? You know,
well,
I'm feeling that.
So let me, okay. So you said Philly, northwest of Philly.
Yeah, I'm more country area than that, but, thank God. Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. Right.
And you know what? And I'll tell you, my realtor told me about this place that was like more in the country, which is the area where I wanted to be, that will come available in the next couple of weeks or whatever. She's just waiting for someone to finish the septic hookup or something. But I was feeling very worried about it the last couple of days. It's too small. I can't take my stuff out of storage. And I was like, no, that's not good. My soul needs to create something else. Like, I don't feel like that's it. I feel something else is going to pop up here. But I feel a little anxiety because I'm like, oh, again, an abrupt move. But I was like, let this be something I can stay for like a year or more. I want to get settled.
Yeah. Well, you will. You can. But I'm still going to – it might be where you're being – where the lady said that she wants to show you and get you moved, the real estate lady. That might be where I'm seeing you think, okay, I'm just going to stay here for a little while, but it's all right. I've settled. But take everything out. However, I have to also say, I'm feeling it very well could be the warehouse. That may be why they started with saying to you, get your stuff out and have it available and be comfortable the whole time you're there. Instead of thinking, I'm going to move again. I'm not going to unpack it. I'm not going to do it twice. If you don't get that house within the next couple of weeks, you're staying there.
I know. I was thinking that. I was like, oh, no. It's not. It's not, first off, a residence can't be there, but it's a, like a construction site, you know, like the toilet barely works and like,
yeah.
That's my that's my attitude now of like, let me just get comfortable. I mean, I'm sleeping on an air mattress, you know, it's not ideal. I want to bring my couch out. I wouldn't bring my couch there. It's
okay.
Gross.
Let's see what Ernesto says. Maybe because I feel like you're right where you're going to be for a little while, as far as the area. Mm-hmm. When I look anywhere outside of that specific area, I'm not going anywhere other than maybe a couple blocks or a few miles, or like you said, in the country from where you're at. But that's it. So let's see what Ernesto has to say.
This other place would be just a few, it would be around 20 miles away, but the thing is she furnished it, and it's like a mini house. It's mini. I can deal with. Clean and new, you know?
Well, yeah, it is clean and new. So just figure, let's see what Ernesto has to say, because he might be able to get a lot more going on it.
Okay.
Sure. All right. So, Jessica, taking a look at this, I know we're running out of time here on the show, so I've just got a few minutes to summarize this. The move situation that you're in right now, it's temporary. Again, I feel like that you will move one final time, but it's going to be super close, like within a block or down the hall or something really close. The reason why is because, you know, like this location that you're in right now, I really feel like that this is an invitation for you to get involved with bigger and better things. And what I mean by that is I get the sense that, like, if you know your birth time is really accurate, that you know that there's definitely going to be a relationship partner that you're going to be meeting as a result of moving, which is why you're being called to this new area. That it's not the fact that you're moving, it's the fact that this is an in, so that you can be in the correct environment where this other person is going to be. But I really get the sense that there's a relationship partner in this new location, and that's the reason why you're being called to move one final time. And I think that, you know, where you are right now, that that's just going to settle down and that's going to stay where it's at. But there will be one more tiny, tiny little thing. And, you know, as far as, you know, like the next month or so, I would say that it would probably be by, if it doesn't happen by the middle to end of November, then you're locked in where you're at. So that's going to be the time frame of how that happens. That'll be the more of a free will element there. So what I would say is that if you don't get the answer that you're looking for by the end of next month, then start unpacking, start getting comfortable, because all of that stuff is going to attract you in the place that you're at. But do be advised that there is a reasonable expectation that things might blow up for you in a big way with regard to a move and a new location.
Good. So like a positive. That's what it feels. I was like, I want to be excited about it. You guys, I was sleeping in my storage unit for a few days too. I went from the storage unit, and then my realtor said, I have this warehouse that we're not using, and I'm helping him clean it up now. He's paying me to clean it up. I'm, like, doing some kind of helping him renovate it so he could rent it out. Like, I feel like I'm doing something that I, like, enjoy, you know?
Good. That's good. That's good.
I feel excited about it, except, you know, it smells. It's not perfect. You know, I remember, Ernesto, you were saying, hey, wherever you are, it's not going to be perfect. So I've just been having a good attitude about it. No more. When I first met you guys, I was, like, crying on the phone. I was miserable. I'm not that person anymore.
Jessica, that you are really unscrewing yourself from, like, the woke spirituality movement. Like, you had been lied to and gaslit by I don't know how many different people. So you were almost of that mindset that by closing my eyes and believing that I am rich, my bills are magically going to go away. That was almost the mindset that you had when we first came to us. I'm really glad that you got yourself out of that whole situation.
Thank you guys for being there. I'm just so excited. Like, I feel like I'm announcing happy news, even though, like, I just feel it incoming, you know? I'm so excited.
Good. Yeah. Ride that wave, but don't ride that wave looking for a crescendo. Just ride that wave like it's going to stay the same now.
And allow yourself to be inspired. Do some creative things, because there are really beautiful things that come out of that. That's all. That's where we kind of got to leave it for today, because we're out of time. But I do want to thank all of our guests for being on the show with us today. We will be back with you guys Saturday morning for our next program. Jessica, thanks so much again for being on the air. We'll catch up with you real soon.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And Veretta, it was awesome as always. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon, and we will see everybody next time. For all other things Uranian astrology, be sure to check out eastrologer.tv, and you can also go to VerettaVision.com for Veretta's website over there.
Take care, everybody.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We will catch up with you guys real soon. Good luck and Godspeed. Until next time.